Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rangers Review Morning Briefing on Thursday, the 23rd of June. I'm Joshua Barry, joined by Johnny McFarlane, who's already been busy this morning, giving us a couple of bits of news about Alfredo Morelos and Zach Lovelace, which we'll get into very soon, Johnny. But just firstly, a word for our sponsors, the One Football app, which, as we tell you every single day, if you've not downloaded it by now, is the one-stop football shop for everything you need, from news, live news, breaking news. There's some Rangers review stuff on there, as well as that you can get all your information when the games do eventually come back, and they are going to be back soon. Obviously, I think the Rangers start pre-season next week, so the new season is not far away at all. If you follow a team down south, you can get the information for that on One Football as well, and you get notifications about it all. So the link is at the very top of the description. Download it for completely free, and they help us to do these videos every single day. And a reminder as well, to subscribe to the Rangers Review at the moment for free, you can subscribe for a 30-day trial, get all our content on our website. That's transfer information, inside deal, scout reports, tactical analysis, big opinions, big interviews, everything that you want in a website is there. So do go and check it out. And yeah, I'm sure you'll really like it. Right, Johnny, let's get right into it. As I say, you've been busy this morning giving us some news about Alfredo Morelos. Now, there'd been news coming out, I think, from Spain that Sevilla had tabled a bid in the region of 8 million for Alfredo Morelos. But you don't think, you've said that's not the case. Do you want to just give us an update on what the situation was and what you know about it?
Yeah, there has been no bid. That is the news. So this has come completely out of left field. My sources at Rangers just don't know where this has come from. It's not something that they're aware of. So this is one that just is basically a transfer flyer by coming out of Spain. There's been numerous reports that Sevilla are heading the list of bookies, etc., etc., that we know how these things can happen. But at the moment, there has been no bid for Alfredo Morelos. The player is still in talks with Rangers. Rangers are still extremely keen to retain Alfredo Morelos. And that is developing behind the scenes. We know that the club is extremely keen to keep these things under wraps. So I think as these things develop, you know, they try and keep them in-house. It's as simple as that. But Morelos is someone that Rangers want to keep. He's not someone that they want to lose. And ultimately, I think you've got to ask yourself as well, looking at this deal, and this is not something I've been told, I'm just, you know, aware of the real politic of how football transfers work. Sevilla and Rangers have a poor relationship, a really, really poor relationship on the back of the Europa League final. I mean, it wasn't long ago that they were, you know, Sevilla were coming out and making accusations that were just absolutely ridiculous. I won't even repeat them, how silly they were. You know, so I don't think they would be, it's a great club to be coming in for Alfredo Morelos in terms of, you know, doing business in the first place. But, and this is the other big thing, and Kenny has just come on and said it, you don't need to be a brain of Britain to realise. And it's actually, Kenny, the reported fee is 8 million euros, so therefore 7 million pounds. You know, you don't need to know too much to know that that's just a non-starter. And indeed, that is just not something that Rangers would ever accept, 7 million pounds, given the amount that he offers to the side. Yes, he's only got a year left. But if you look around deals that have been done in modern football, four players with a year left on their contract, it hasn't been this thing whereby their value just drops to next to nothing. I mean, you look at someone like Odson Edwards, who left for Celtic down to Crystal Palace. I think the total deal was something like 15 million. Rangers have to be expecting more than 7 million pounds for Alfredo Morelos. And honestly, guys, see, to be honest, my own opinion is if the quantum, or the quantum, should I say, I don't know why I mispronounced that, does not reach above 7 million, I would probably be in the camp that you're as well just holding on to him. For what you know Alfredo Morelos is going to give you in European competition especially, but given what he's done under Giovanni van Bronckhorst already, given how much of a focal point Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has made him in this team, I would argue you're better off just holding on to him than letting him go for 7 million, because it just sets the wrong tone. It's just not enough given what he can give you on the pitch. And there might be people who disagree with that, but I just would not accept that kind of money. And I believe there will be, if there are more clubs coming in, I think that the offers will be more than that. But it's just not a non-starter entirely for the multitude of reasons I've just laid out.
Yeah, and I guess the thing you've got to remember with Morelos as well, Johnny, is that often on these podcasts we've spoken about how his European record is better, or it was at the time we looked into that, than his domestic record. And that's obviously not good from a Rangers domestic point of view. But if you're a club watching him from abroad and you're looking at what he's done in European competition really consistently since Steven Gerrard came into the club, I mean, that's worth a lot more than 7 million euros, isn't it?
Yeah, I do think so, Josh. And Morelos is one of these streaky type players as well that could go away and score a multitude of goals in the early part of the season, and come January, there's a lot of interest. I just think that kind of money that we're talking about, it's just not enough. It's not going to be enough to tempt Rangers. But the fact is, this deal is not happening anyway. It's not something that's in the pipeline. So it's a non-starter, basically. For me, you know, I think John O'Rourke says it here. Alfred Morelos is a proven goal scorer at European level. I'm amazed nobody's coming from with a serious offer given his achievements in the Europa League last season. I have to agree with this, Joshua. I really struggle, and perhaps your cultured eye when it comes to footballers can give me a little bit more of more finesse or more detail in this kind of opinion, because I look at Alfredo Morelos, I look at how he's performed in the Europa League. You talk about his record being better. It is better in Europe. He's powerful. He's not lightning quick, but he's certainly not slow. He occupies multiple defenders, his ability to lead the line on his own. He's one of these strikers that can do pretty much everything. Now, I'm not saying he's absolutely top shelf elite. I'm not saying that, but I'm really surprised that there haven't been clubs, especially in leagues like Spain and Italy, where I think he would be more suited than say the Premier League, which is really, really, really physical. But I think like Morelos, with his physicality, could go into those leagues and just be the real bull in a china shop that he can be. Why do you think that scouts haven't decided to sort of push the button on him at clubs like Sevilla? Let's be honest, those kind of mid-level elite European clubs.
Well, I think one of the interesting things, and we've got a piece coming out on this over the weekend, looking at the 2020 transfer window and the end of the 2019-20 season. When Rangers obviously kind of combusted, and what Ross Wilson did in the transfer market to plug some of the holes in that team at the time. Now, I can't remember if I said this yesterday, but I'll repeat it just in case. Morelos, between the St Mirren game, which he didn't play, where Jermaine Defoe scored in a 1-0 win, and the Ross County 1-0 win where Ryan Kent scored that deflected goal that was the last domestic game before lockdown, took 36 shots and scored no goals, and expected goals of 650 minutes. Everyone will remember that he'd some of the best form of his Rangers career prior to the winter break, and after the winter break just went off a cliff. If you look at the 2020-21 season, partly through injury, but the season really didn't get going until the end of the, you know, maybe even March, February time, when he was scoring that goal against, who was it? He scored the goal against Livingston. I think he still got a suspension in that season for an elbow on Mark Connolly. And then you look at this season just gone, and again, he doesn't start the season brilliantly until Van Bronckhorst comes in. So theoretically, I mean, talking completely hypothetically, because I don't know, maybe it's something to do with the fact that there is that element of unpredictability still about his game, not necessarily in a discipline stance anymore. I think, you know, no one could argue that he's sorted that out, particularly from Gerrard's first season, but maybe more so in his consistency of performance. There was a comment that Van Bronckhorst made. I can't remember the game, but it was in one of these games. I think it might have been either Hibs 2-0 at home or St Johnstone 2-0, one of these games. And he was speaking about in the press conference about Morelos needing to be there for the team. And what he was meaning was, I think, based on what he said after, is when Rangers are trying to play through pressure, they need that consistency from Morelos in a game that sometimes I personally don't think he gives you. I think sometimes he can switch off a bit without the ball. He can be really proactive when he wants. You know, the Dortmund game when he pinches that ball back and him and Kent score the goal that's chopped off from VAR. I don't always know if he gives you that consistent output when he's playing in a league game. So I don't know. That's kind of theoretically maybe some of the kind of intangibles almost that scouts will watch maybe and think, I don't know if this guy's going to give us the consistency that we need for the money that we're going to pay. But to the other point, you look at what he's done in Europe. Absolutely, that performance against Matt Hummels against Dortmund, and just generally over the last few seasons in Europe, he's been at times kind of the one man that's pulled Rangers through games and won games. I think Rangers their run without Morelos in those last two rounds demonstrates that how much they've improved as a team. Again, I was watching back some of the Bayern Leverkusen game at Ibrox, the 3-1 game, when it just looked the gulf between the teams on that day, and obviously Rangers were in a bad slump of form, but that was the last game before COVID, and the gulf between those teams then was, you know, very noticeable. You look at the gulf between the teams, even when Braga in that first half in the 3-2 game when Hadji scores twice, very noticeable compared to the 3-1 game Ibrox a couple months ago. So I think Rangers are in a definitely better place in terms of the Morelos dependency than they were a couple of seasons ago, but still, and I think we've got another article coming out about this over the weekend, Johnny, their goal scoring reliance on him is too high. They need to put goals around him. That's what they did in the summer 2020 transfer window. Hadji and Roof had 34 goal contributions the season after, and that's what they need to do this season. So, it's a really interesting discussion. I do kind of think, and I'll be interested to see what you think of this, that Morelos could score more than his 17. I think it's 17 is his highest ever domestic league tally. Based on what happened under Van Bronckhorst those first couple of months, I think that he could get the very, very best out of him. The fact that he's evolved as a player now and he can still contribute so much outside the box, but his role's obviously been simplified somewhat. Do you think if he stays, he will go on to have his best individual season? Because he's also now in his peak. I always think of Morelos as young, but I think he's now 25, 26?
Yeah, it was birthday yesterday, wasn't it? So I think he's 26.
Yeah, I've seen there's a funny comment up above somewhere about the balloon business in Glasgow taking a sigh of relief, which is very fitting given the number of photos you see with him.
With
26. So what do you think next season, Johnny, hypothetically stays? You know, obviously, as you say, you filled us in about the contract. We don't know what's going to happen. Does Morelos have a brilliant season for Rangers?
I think he certainly can do. Much will depend on getting Alfredo Morelos in the right space psychologically. That's what it's about with him. There's no doubt in his qualities. It's just making sure that you're getting the best of Morelos. If you can do that, then there's no doubt in my mind, especially with the way that Van Bronckhorst has got this team set up, that he will get more goals than that 17. What I would say, though, is Alfredo's always going to give you streaky moments. He's always going to be great for a period of 4 or 5 games, and everyone says he's worth 40 million quid. Yeah. And then there'll be games where he goes 4 or 5 without a goal. And that's not that much of a problem because he gives you loads alongside the goals. Mm-hmm. But as you say, Josh, and you're absolutely spot on, and I couldn't agree more, you need to get goals in and around them. If you get goals in and around them, it takes the pressure off because I've said this before and I'll say it again, he's not a natural finisher. Not in the same way that Ali McCoys is a natural finisher or that Nikita Jelovic was a natural finisher. A guy who one touch, bang. Sometimes not even one touch, just bang. That's not really Morelos' game. I think Morelos is more like Kenny Miller. Kenny Miller was a great finisher when he didn't have to think about it. Alfredo Morelos is exactly the same. Mm. When it's instinctive, I think it's good. But when he's put through one-on-one with the keeper, I would be not exactly confident that the ball was going to go into the back of the net every time, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas someone like McCoys put through one-on-one with the keeper in a big game, you know that's going to be in the back of the net. There'll be people who are older who'll be telling me Ali McCoys missed so many chances and that I'm forgetting all the chances he missed because he really did miss a lot of chances. But, you know, Ali McCoys, the great thing about him was that he would always get up and score the next one. Morelos for me is just is. He started off his career, I think, as an attacking midfielder. I might be wrong, Josh. It certainly wasn't a striker. I'm pretty sure it was like a number 10 he started off his career. And he doesn't have that kind of instinctive, natural, deadly finisher thing that say, someone like Chris Boyd, or as Scott Berg says in the comments, Kemar Roof has that.
You know?
He has that, just that deadly, dead-eyed, cold stare that when the ball goes at him in the box and it's a chance, it's going in a high percentage of the time. But that's the one thing that I think might put clubs off Alfredo. But I still think he would have been a very, very good signing for a mid-table Premier League club. And certainly, I think, like Spain, you would have a field day in Spain if he went to the right club.
Yeah, and I think especially if he has the opportunity to play in space more, which, you know, obviously at Rangers, it's quite a unique situation in terms of the number of teams you have to break down. And there's an interesting comment coming in here about, from Denzo, a much-respected pundit, said yesterday, the best get their business done early. Just a quick thought on that. I think that's true, but I don't think Rangers are a good comparison to Liverpool and City. Obviously, their resources are out of this world, their reputations. The fact that, you know, someone like Darwin Nunez or Erling Haaland, there's not going to be many other clubs that tempt them, especially with the state of... I know Real Madrid have just won the Champions League, but they obviously spent a lot of money on the defensive midfielder from Monaco. Barcelona are in a bit of a state still. So I think that's a fair point, but I think it's, you know, Rangers are operating in at a very different market with very different a very different reality. But one business that we think they might have done early, Johnny, is Zach Lovelace. This is the second bit of information you tweeted out before the working day had started. Any truth in Zach Lovelace signing on a free from July 1st from Millwall? Very highly rated youngster and been linked to Rangers in the past. What can you tell us about Zach Lovelace, Johnny?
Yeah, I've had it confirmed to me today that Zach Lovelace is indeed going to be a Rangers player. He has informed the club that he will be joining. I think this one is one of those where we've seen talk about this transfer change that's come about with Brexit, whereby English clubs will now be more interested in snapping up the best Scottish talent. We've seen Rory Wilson go down to Aston Villa, and that deal has been agreed now, but there was a little bit of back and forth, obviously, on the fee and how that was going to work. And obviously, it's never nice when you lose a really, really good young talent. But Craig Mulholland came out and did an interview not long after and said, look, state of play is that that's going to happen. There's very little we can do. You know, these huge clubs are now targeting our youngsters. It's the way of the world now since Brexit, but there will be deals going in the other direction. Mm-hmm. And this is an example of that. Calvin Bassey was an example of that. This cross-border loophole makes it easier for Rangers to go in and snap up the best young talent that comes available. And Lovelace, you have to say, if you're getting a debut in the Championship aged 15, you have to have something about you. Now, I know Millwall were having a bit of a sort of crisis in terms of their forward line at that point, but to chuck a guy in at that age, that tells you a lot. And this kid is really, really physical. He's got a lot about him. And, I mean, the temptation is to get carried away, and it's important you don't, because age 16, you're still just a talent. You have it all to do. You have to prove that you can come in and be a major player. But, I mean, Gary Rowett, the Millwall boss, I've got some quotes from here. He was absolutely adamant the club were desperate to keep hold of this kid. You know, he said the club made it clear we would love Zach to be part of what we do next year on a full-time basis. That's our aim. Unfortunately, some of your better players get poached by other clubs. To a certain degree, these fees are a bit out of your hands. Zach is one of those, a lad who's had a bit of interest. He'll be getting different advice, and all we can do is show him how much we want him here and see what happens. So, you know, Gary Rowett really wanted to keep him at Millwall. There's no doubt about that. But Rangers have managed to sneak in, and it's going to be, I think, a very, very cheap deal. I think it's been reported. I've not checked this out, but certainly in the low hundreds of thousands, around 200,000, it's been reported to get the compensation deal sorted out. So yeah, I think it's going to be another very, very good signing for Rangers, and it's now up to the kid to come in there and hit the ground running. Now, Rangers have got a great setup because he can go into that B team and get playing against men, continue his development that way, maybe do that for a season and then come back into the full-time setup at Rangers. Or maybe he's ready now. Maybe, you know, yeah, he's already been training with men. He's already played in the Championship. It depends on, I think, what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst sees, but he will be another option and certainly one for the long term. And from what I've read about the player, he seems like he's going to be a really, really, really big coup for Rangers to go and snap him up from the Championship like that. Now, I think we'll have a lot more detail on the website on Zach Lovelace, because you're going to sit and go through his performances in the Championship with a fine-tooth comb and give Rangers fans an insight into exactly what sort of player is heading up to govern.
Yeah, and do you know what? A couple of thoughts on that, Johnny. Firstly, I think you look at the Joe Rebo deal, and obviously a lot of was made by his manager at the time. I think it was Lee Bowyer saying that Rebo would not so much ruin his career, but something to that extent by going to Scotland and not staying down in the Championship. And I think if you look at the games Rebo's played, scoring in a European final, now, you know, a key player for Nigeria on the international stage, that certainly kind of, you know, validates, I guess, Rangers' stance as a prospect to go for. And also, you know, with Lovelace, obviously we don't know if he'll go right into the first team, Johnny, as you say, if there'll be a bit of a blend. But that's why the B team model, I'm sure, from the club's point of view, that's why they'd say it's so important. And if you want to read a bit more about that, you can on the interview section of the site with Craig Mulholland, and we break down a little bit about the B team model. But he effectively says, look, players like Alex Lowry, for example, who's now 18's made his breakthrough at Rangers, 85% of his week is not game day. 85% is him at training, is him around coaches, doing his, you know, physical work, his nutrition, his analysis. If Rangers don't have to always send these players out on loan and can give them the experience they get on loan, which is, you know, playing in games that matter, playing against older professionals, playing in physical games, playing in front of a crowd, then it does create a really good environment for them and allows the club to manage their development. And to this point, you'd have to say that the first kind of batch of players with Leon King and Alex Lowry, Nathan Patterson obviously slightly before, you have to say that's worked. So I think that's an interesting one to keep an eye on moving forward in terms of how that... Because hypothetically, if Zach Lovelace was coming up to Rangers and there wasn't a fantastic good setup and he'd have to go on loan to the Championship in Scotland, or I don't think the appeal is there in the same way as opposed to him coming in. Maybe he does play B team games. As we say, we don't know, we don't have any clue. It'll be interesting to watch a bit of him and kind of see how good a player he is. But I think that's just worth a mention. And final point for me today, Johnny, is did you watch Tav's training ground tour yesterday?
I did.
It's very good, wasn't it?
And
I like
that. Do you
know
what was most interesting for me, Joshua?
What?
And this is the geek in me, because there'll be other tabloid elements that people can pick out. But I thought it was interesting. He said 5 or 6 players in the Rangers first team now do yoga.
Yeah.
Which, listen, this is not anything particularly new in football. I mean, Ryan Giggs was doing this, well, I don't know what we're talking, maybe 10, 15 years ago. Well, 10 years ago. And it kind of spread through Manchester United because people were looking at Ryan Giggs and seeing how he kept himself so mobile. And this is the thing, as you get older, like, listen, Josh, you're too young to feel this, but as you get older on a football pitch, you do become stiffer and you don't have the same level of movement as you once had. But Ryan Giggs was able to keep that kind of mobility right into his late 30s and even early 40s.
Yeah.
And he always put it down to yoga. So I thought it was really, really interesting that there's so many Rangers players doing this. And that just speaks again to the kind of professionalism that's running through the club nowadays, that they go to that, they take on things that would be traditionally kind of laughed at in Scottish football to help elongate and improve their careers. It really, that was a nice little tidbit. What else was you impressed with, Josh?
Well, I think it's always nice when clubs do stuff that's personable from a media standpoint, because that's what, you know, supporters want to see, people in the media like us want to see. There was a funny moment, obviously, with Alex Lowry, which I thought was quite an unplanned dynamic. which was interesting. Nice look at the analysis setup, which is obviously also used as the press room. I was there most recently for the media day before the Europa League final. I think you could see his rapport with people in the kind of training centre, and you always hear these stories about the people that actually make the training centre, the person at reception, the first person you see, whatever. But it just seemed like a good atmosphere. And obviously the training centre, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have been to it. The progress in the last few years, probably driven by Steven Gerrard first, Ross Wilson second, has been really noticeable. And it certainly seems an attractive addition, I guess, for players when they're thinking of coming up the road as well. Because I'm sure that will go into players thinking they spent a lot of their time there. You don't want to go into a training centre that's not up to standard. I see CGM's comment there that he tried yoga and it wasn't for him. Well, I'm somewhat not surprised at that. But I'm doing half marathon training at the moment. And I did a long run yesterday and I'm feeling slightly worse for wear this morning. So maybe I'll need to try some.
Give Tab a ring and get into the yoga session. Yeah, just you mentioned the Lowry thing. That was the other element that I thought was interesting, because I thought Tavernier just had a really good way with Lowry in that little exchange, which was, it was personable and it was jovial and jokey, but he was also a wee bit of an edge, like, have you done that work? How did you get on?
Yeah.
And just like, that's just exactly what you want to see from a senior player, isn't it? Just pushing the young guys and really underlining the sort of the professionalism required.
Yeah.
And listen, we're reading into something that is just a snatch moment, but to me, it's exactly what you want to see from a Rangers captain in 2022.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked before about how leadership has changed, and the days of like the sort of bombastic Richard Gough style, absolutely unchallenged leadership, that's kind of, I think, gone. And you need to have a different approach for this generation, because they just don't respond to that kind of leadership. I mean, I know having to deal with you every day that, you know, just, you know, trying to give you any kind of like stick, I just have to give you the carrot all the time. It's, you know, what can I do? So you need to actually have a different style. And I think that came across quite obviously in the wee video. So I'd urge you, anyone who's not seen it, to go onto Rangers TV. It's about 8.5 minutes long. It's really entertaining and a great wee bit of club media content. And I think it's only just part one, isn't it, Joshua? There's another part coming along.
Part two coming up, absolutely. So we'll keep an eye out for that. But I think that'll do us today, Johnny. I've got some Zach Lovelace to watch. Do remember, folks, to subscribe to the Rangers Review for free. Get all our content, so much on there that will keep you occupied for absolutely ages. Hit the notification bell on YouTube so you get notified every time we go live. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and we'll speak to you tomorrow morning.